You're listening to episode 13 of Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast. This is the podcast all about pouring the labor, care, and study into the roles that God has given us as wives, moms, women, and His children. It is meant to inspire us to be living with passion, intention, beauty, and delight in the everyday moments right where we're at. I'm your hostess, Mackenzie Monroe from BoldTurquoise.com and CultivatingTheLovely.com, along with the Cultivating the Lovely morning show on Periscope. Today, I am really excited to have here with me Amy Roberts from Raising Arrows. We have a really fun conversation about what it's like to have a big family, the blessings and the frustrations that come along with it, along with some practical ideas and reasons why anyone would want to even have a big family in the first place. But before I jump in with Amy, I wanted to make mention of this week's podcast sponsor. We are sponsored this week by CharacterBadges.com. Now, if you haven't heard of Character Badges, I really encourage you to go look at them. If you're looking for something to not only make discipline a little bit easier in your house with your kids, but also encouragement and rewards. We have used this program for a lot of years off and on, and it has been a very effective tool to help our kids understand not only what they should be doing, but why they should be doing it and the character that's behind it. If you would like to check out Character Badges and help support the podcast in the process, then all you have to do is go to boldturquoise.com/character badges, and it will take you straight to their site where you can see all the wonderful things that they have to offer. All right, now with that, I'd love to get to my interview with Amy. So without further ado, here is Amy Roberts. Welcome, Amy.
Hi, Mackenzie.
I am so excited to have you here. Since I was even planning on starting my podcast, I had people asking me to do an episode on big families. And the first person I thought of to have on was you. So I was so excited when you agreed to do this.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And I have really enjoyed listening to your podcast and reading what you have to write. And so it's exciting to me to be here.
Oh, thank you. So why don't you tell everyone who you are and a little bit about your family?
Okay, my name is Amy Roberts, and I've been married almost 20 years to my high school sweetheart, Ty.
Aww.
We have 9 children, ranging from age almost 18. He has his 18th birthday this weekend.
Wow.
I know, scary.
Yeah, that is scary.
And then down to our little one-year-old, Aspen.
Cute. She is adorable, by the way. I'm watching all the pictures, just like, oh my goodness, she's the cutest thing. So would you like to tell everybody what you do online?
Sure. I have been blogging as Raising Arrows for 10 years now.
Wow.
I know. RaisingArrows.net is where I'm at. And I have, you know, all the regular social media type things too. But most of what I focus on is there on RaisingArrows.net, ministering now to large family homeschoolers and homemakers, women who are raising a larger than average family. It doesn't have to necessarily be a mega family.
Yeah.
But, you know, larger than average and just in the trenches, day-to-day life and homeschooling and what that looks like and just encouraging them as I walk the same path.
Well, I know that I have personally found your stuff super, super encouraging and helpful, and I only have 4 so far. So I think that this can apply to families of a lot of different sizes, because I think those moms who you've got all the kids, you have a lot of wisdom to pass to those of us who have less. You're very efficient. You've got great ways of doing things. So I'm excited. You have to be. Exactly. I need to learn your ways. So I want to talk a little bit about how did you end up with all these children? What brought you to that
point? That's kind of a personal question, Mackenzie.
Well, okay, not that part of it. How did you decide? Oh my goodness.
When I had my first child, I was so excited to be a mom. And when I had him, I had some really rough morning sickness, and I ended up with a C-section. And I kind of thought, you know what? One is good. One and done. And he was a handful too. He tries to tell me he wasn't, but he was a handful. And then my husband kind of started hinting that maybe it was time for a sibling. And I thought, okay, one more. Well, yeah. That morning sickness was actually hyperemesis, and I was extremely sick. And just by the grace of God, I had an OB at the time who had 8 children herself.
Wow.
And she asked me to not make any rash decisions while I was so ill. And I listened to her. And sure enough, about 4 months after I had our daughter, I was just overcome by the Lord and what he was placing in my life, the people he was placing in my life, the things that I was reading online. Just he was pointing me in the direction of just giving over my fertility to him and letting him handle it. And I remember staying up late into the night one night and just reading and reading and reading, because this was all really very foreign to me. Mm-hmm. And I just felt distinctly that this is what, you know, we were supposed to do. And I thought, no, I'm going to be the submissive wife, and I'm going to ask my husband in the morning, and he's going to say, no, you're crazy. Yes. And then I'm out of this, you know, God doesn't have, you know, he says to be submissive. So
there you go.
I'm not going to have to do this, because this is crazy. And I got up in the morning and I talked to my husband, and he said, I totally agree. I about fell over.
Like, what? Wait.
And from there, the Lord just really changed my heart to where I saw my children as blessings. I did not see them as blessings before. They were sort of a hobby I had. And when he changed my heart, it was dynamic. I mean, it was unreal how I began to see my family, see my husband, see my children. And I was willing to take the blessings he would give me, despite the morning sickness, despite the difficulties that were there. And it has just been an incredible journey. And I just have to say this too. When I decided, or when we made this decision to trust the Lord with our fertility, we were not given another child until 4 years later.
Wow.
So there was a lot of trusting in the desert.
Yeah.
I really thought I was going to have a ton of kids after that, and they didn't.
Yeah, I think we kind of have, I mean, a little bit similar story as far as my first 3 are exactly 3 years and 48 days apart. No matter how hard we tried for that to be different, it just did not happen. And it was just crazy to us that, like, I mean, that was when I could really look and be like, okay, God, you totally had this in your hands, because we tried and tried and tried to have more kids and have them closer together. I thought, okay, I'm going to have 4 kids and I'll have them all banged out by the time I'm 28 and we'll be good to go. And that is so not what happened.
Yes.
But he really does have control.
Isn't it funny how we go from controlling not having them to thinking we're going to control having them too?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. It was like we were trying to have them, and then number 4 showed up, and we were like, hey, we didn't know that could just happen. Like, wait a minute. I guess you are in control. This is crazy. But yeah. I think it's important to distinguish. I think a lot of people hear, like, oh, you're trusting the Lord with your fertility. That sounds kind of kooky. I know my husband's like, I don't even like that term. It just sounds weird. But I think people assume that when you give your fertility to God, that means you're just trying to have as many children as you can, as quickly as you can. But that's really not the case.
No. How we see it is that if I'm going to say my children are a blessing, I need to live that out. Mm-hmm. And so I need to see them as a blessing, and I need to be willing to take that blessing whenever and however it comes. And that is not always an easy place to be, but it is definitely not, let's see how many children we can collect.
Yeah, exactly. I think my husband and I think of it as, we just want the family that God wants us to have. And right. He will take care of that, whether that means we don't have any more children after this or he gives us however many more.
Right. You have a different sized quiver than, you know, me or someone else. And, you know, we need to respect the size of quiver we have and see those children as, you know, special arrows that God gave to us. and not to someone else and not spend our time, you know, comparing ourselves. We moms are so good at comparing ourselves.
Yes. We really are. I see it happen all the time. So, but on that note, because they are a blessing and we see them as blessings, but sometimes I consider them less arrows and more thorns, being honest. And this journey isn't easy. And so I think that's another misconception is people think, oh, you've given your fertility to the Lord. You're like hyper spiritual and, you know, you just have a whole different level of patience and everything than I ever could. And I know for me, that's not true. So do you have anything to say about that?
I think I have so many children because I have no patience.
Right.
I think this is God refining me.
Yes.
And I really believe that it's not supposed to be easy.
Yeah.
And we kind of, I don't know, maybe it's an American thing, but we kind of feel like we need to have the easy life. And everything, if it's not easy, we're not doing it right.
Yeah.
And that is just not the case. This is a challenge. Raising children, no matter how many you have, because remember I said when I had one, he was a challenge.
Yeah.
And it just is. I get stopped in the store and people will say, oh, how do you do it? I only have two and I just can't seem to manage. And I think back and I'm like, when I had two, I wasn't managing real well either.
Yeah.
And what I've done from here is created some systems and, you know, some things to kind of control the chaos, but it's still chaos and it's still a challenge. And I've kind of just embraced the notion that this motherhood thing is messy.
Yeah, it is very messy, but it's a good messy.
It is.
And I heard, I think it was Heidi St. John. I think it was on her podcast. I heard her say that God only gives you the grace for the number of children you currently have. Mm. And so if you only have two, he's not going to give you the grace to be able to mother seven at that point in time. He'll add a little bit every time for as much as you need.
I am so thankful that they have only come, you know, one at a time.
Yeah. Right.
Because they grow and they change and they're different ages and stages. It's not like the Lord, you know, placed nine kids in my lap all at one time. And I know that does happen to some people, especially with adoption and such, but for most of us, it's a slow burn.
Yes.
And, you know, we are given just, you know, the next amount of grace and energy that we need to get through. God equips us for what he calls us to. And this is where he has me, and he's going to hold me up and keep me going.
Yeah. Well, which that also kind of brings me to a recent post that I read of yours, and it was talking about not referring to life as being in certain seasons for moms of many, because it can actually be discouraging to a mom of many to say, oh, it's just a season, when you're like, I've got 20 years of this season. Shush about your seasons.
And that was where I was when I wrote that post.
Yeah.
I had had enough of being told it was a season, because when I look at my parenting years, I have an almost 18-year-old and I have a 1-year-old and I don't know how many more years of this, you know, toddlerhood and all of that I have that coming up. And so when somebody says, oh, it's just a season, you know, your toddler will be, you know, grown up here very soon. I think, well, yeah, then I have another one coming up after that.
Exactly. So how have you viewed that differently? What helps you to deal with being in the longer stretch of these mothering seasons, quote unquote?
Really just not seeing it as, not really even trying to look at the end of it.
Yes.
Living right where I am. So I recently read an article on depression and anxiety that really resonated with me, because they talked in this article about the people who aren't depressed and aren't anxious are actually people who live in the moment. And that's the kind of mom I want to be. And it's very biblical too, to be that kind of mom who is not looking forward and trying to figure out what's going to happen and where is the end of all of this. It's really living in that moment, and just being Holy Spirit filled through it all and just living for Him and doing what He's asking you to do one step at a time. Mm-hmm. And that really has helped me to push past the feeling that this is never going to end.
Yeah.
Because when it does end, it's going to be a very, very sad day.
Yeah, very much so when you get to that point, for sure. I think it was interesting. I recently saw the movie, now if I could think of the name, Bridge of Spies with Tom Hanks. And he's the defense attorney for this guy who was a spy from Russia and this whole deal. And he's talking to the guy and he's saying, you know, this is what lies before you. You could end up in prison. They could end up, you know, executing you. Like, all of these things could happen. And the guy's just like, okay. And he goes, aren't you worried? And he goes, will it change anything? Like, yeah. If I do, will it change anything? And all throughout the movie, that kept coming up where Tom Hanks would just look at this guy baffled and say, you know, aren't you nervous about this? And he says, will it change anything? I guess not. Okay. And yeah. It just keeps resonating with me. Like, if I freak out about this or I just, like, feel like I can't handle it or I'm looking at ahead, like, is it really going to change anything? Or do I just deal with what's in front of me?
Yeah. And I think women do tend to think that if they worry about something, they might be able to change the outcome.
Yeah.
If they don't worry about it, what they're not worrying about is going to happen because they didn't worry about it.
Yes.
And we have got to get past that. We've got to get over ourselves in so many levels. That makes us like God. Mm-hmm. And we suddenly have this power to control things, which we don't actually have. And so we really have to put ourselves in our place and realize that we were called, you know, to be a mother by God, and He is going to order our steps.
Yes. So in the midst of that, trying not to worry about, you know, what's coming next and the seasons and all of that, how do you take care of yourself and make sure you don't lose your mind? This is where you could just counsel me. Everyone's going to be sitting in on a little counseling session for Mackenzie.
Oh, honestly, through the years, I have not taken as good a care of myself as I should have. It's only been in the past few years that I think I came to the end of myself. Mm-hmm. And I really needed to find a way to take care of myself. Recently found out that I had a severe B12 deficiency.
Oh, wow.
It was wrecking every part of my life. And it was a very simple fix, mm-hmm. but I had not been taking care of myself. And it had snowballed into not sleeping and anxiety and depression and all kinds of things that, I mean, in some ways I did feel very insane.
Yeah.
And so looking at that, I feel like we are a temple, and you would not let God's temple fall into ruin and be a big hot mess. You would want that temple to be beautiful and to be well polished and well taken care of. And so I feel like that is my responsibility, is to take care of myself, to love the image, you know, that God has created me in, and just be a good witness in that form. I'm not going to have, you know, some supermodel body. That's not what, you know, I'm supposed to be. But at the same time, I also should not be run down and, you know, just falling apart. I really should do my best to take care of myself in a way that's not, you know, selfish and vain, mm-hmm. but because I am made in God's image and I need to take care of myself.
That is, wow. I think that's one of the best ways I've ever heard that put, because I think we all know that we shouldn't just, like, be living disheveled lives, but, you know, or are us personally as moms, but it's so hard to take care of ourselves and feel like it's okay for us to take care of ourselves.
Right.
And that just gives it a holy perspective. Yes, it is okay because you're God's temple and you should take care of that. That's powerful.
Well, thank you. And that is where I had to come to, because I had been living that life of, I should not take the time for mm-hmm. this because, you know, I've got all these little people to take care of and it would be vain if I took the time. And now I'm realizing all these years of not taking the time was a really bad thing.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being our example. Now we can try to do better.
Yes, please do.
Yeah. Well, that was really good. So now I do want to move on to another post that you wrote fairly recently on parenting the collective. And I thought this was so good. And I have lots of questions about it because I'm right in the midst of something. So you talk about in the post how you used to really want to view all of your kids as individuals and pouring into them individually and not making them just like one of a group, but having them very, you know, separate, individual, like our culture has. But then you realize that there really is something wonderful about being a family and being a collective and parenting them together. Not to say that you get rid of the individuality, but that you are a group and you have this family culture and how actually powerful that can be.
Yeah. Yeah. I was terrified of people seeing us as a large family that was just a collection of people, yeah, and that we forced our kids into a mold. And I think that's what I was going off of, was that I wanted everybody to know that my children were individuals, mm-hmm, because I didn't want anybody to think negatively about large families in a way that, you know, they've lost their identity because, mm-hmm, they're part of a family. And as I had more children and they were growing and I was seeing all these individual, you know, gifts and talents and things coming out, I wanted to nurture that. But at the same time, I realized how it is so helpful to the family. It is just like the body of Christ, where we are not all eyes and ears and arms and legs. We're all individual parts, mm-hmm, that come together, share our gifts and talents, and work together as a community. And so it was actually quite an epiphany for me to realize that I didn't have to spend all my time trying to be, you know, mom to the 18-year-old and then mom to the 14-year-old and mom to the 10-year-old and on and on and on, that it was okay for me to parent them all together and to recognize their individuality within that togetherness.
Mm-hmm. And that's half the fun of having a big family, is seeing how different they all are.
Oh, yes. It's exciting. It's so neat to me to, yeah, see their different little personalities.
Yeah, I think my husband always looks at him and says, how could we stop now? The next one will be so different. I want to know what that next one is like.
I know.
But so when you're parenting the collective, you mentioned in the post, like if a child is having a particular difficulty, you can't just pull all your time away from all the other kids to deal with that difficulty. So how do you go about dealing with issues with your kids? This is like, I could tell you the name of my child that I'm having issues with right now. What do I do?
I have one.
Yeah.
I have a child with Asperger's.
Okay.
And it's not something I write about on the blog because I want to respect her privacy and such. But it's something that we're fairly open about. But with that has come a lot of one-on-one time where I have really had to explain things and, mm-hmm, pull her out of a funk and help her to see that math is not going to kill her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these little things that in her life are huge challenges, to some of my other kids, they're no big deal, roll off your back.
Yeah.
And so there have been times when I have spent a tremendous amount of parenting energy on this child, and it's really strengthened our relationship, but at the same time, it was to the detriment of the other children. Mm-hmm. And I've had to learn to give her an amount of time, but then say, okay, I'm actually going to back away from this now, and I'm going to parent everybody. You know, I can't always, you know, be just your parent. And it's, mm-hmm, a really hard place for a parent because we ache for that child. We want all of our children to, you know, be well adjusted and,
yeah,
and have this great, wonderful life. And I have learned that sometimes I need to invest in everybody. And in turn, they begin to invest in the child who's having difficulty too, especially if we're open about the struggles that are going on. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not big on singling out people and saying, oh, well, this is so-and-so's issue today. We're going to all help them with that issue. I don't want to make a big scene, but at the same time, I feel like it's important that we all know each other's idiosyncrasies. We all know that, you know, like if I'm having a bad day and I need a break, I need my kids to know that I need a little time to breathe.
Yeah.
And if I don't share that, and if I don't share that we're having some struggles with math with my oldest daughter, you know, I'm not going to be as effective of a parent. And so it really, it's that balance of time where you balance between the child or children who are having difficulty and then saying, you know what, here's my boundary. I'm done for a while. I need to, you know, go parent everybody or parent someone else. And that's a tough thing, but it's something you do have to find that balance with.
Yeah. I'm going to need to find that balance more, or he's probably going to end up in military school. So that's sometimes the only option that feels viable. But yes.
Keep on keeping on.
It is.
It's a struggle. But I mean, I used to spend hours crying in the garage, and I have begun to see where, you know, the Lord used that to draw me closer to him. And I'm very close with my daughter. It's just been a difficult parenting time. And it's grown both of us, though. And I feel like I understand her better than I ever would have if I had sent her to public school or sent her off somewhere. I really get her. And she comes to me with things that I don't think she would have come to me with now that she's 14.
Yeah.
I don't think she would have come to me with those things had I not invested that time.
I know. And that's what, even with him, when I look at it, it's like, oh, sometimes that military school option feels really wonderful. But then it's heartbreaking to think, no, I don't. I want you here. I want you part of this family. And I want you to, you know, be able to grow and thrive in the midst of this, but we just got to figure out a better way to make it happen.
Right. And God did not accidentally put him in your family.
Yeah.
You know, and I used to think about my daughter and think, oh, she would have been a great only child. Nobody to bother her. But God did not accidentally put her in this huge family.
Yeah.
He put her here to refine her and to help her know how to handle social situations, because she's in a social situation, you know, all day long.
Yeah.
And it's been really good for her.
That is such wise words. Thank you. Okay. So I am assuming, as a mom of many, you have a lot of routine going on. You talked about systems. I know you have your book, Large Family Homeschooling. So what kind of things do you do to keep your sanity? What kinds of routines? And were they hard for you to develop? Or were you naturally bent to them?
I will say, first of all, that routine is the right word. Schedule, I am not. And part of that is because I'm married to a man who is very spontaneous, fly by the seat of your pants. You know, we're going to pack up and go to the mountains right now.
Okay.
And so I have a little different life in that respect. I don't have a real set schedule day to day. We do have a routine. You know, we get up. This is what we do after we get up. And it goes throughout the day. I have on my website something called At a Glance Schedule. And that was something I created for myself that is just the bare bones of what our day looks like. And I have it laminated, and it's right there where I can see it beside my computer. And it's kind of a thing to keep me on track. But I do not get wrapped up in super intensive schedules, because when you have a large family, yes, you need to control the chaos, but you have to also have a lot of flex time in there, because there are diapers that are going to have to be changed and temper tantrums. You're going to have to cool down, and all kinds of things that you're going to have to work into your day. And if you're hyper scheduled, you're not going to be able to work those things in, or it's just going to frustrate you. And so I try to keep things as unfrustrating for myself as possible. We do have things like seating charts for the table and seating charts for the van. We have chore charts. We do a full house cleaning on Fridays, which is not something I've done the entire time. It's only since I've had older kids. Mm-hmm. We do that, you know, so everybody has a set amount of chores there. We have a set table chores. This is what you do. So those kinds of things are set, but the routine is just a really simple, flexible, you know, this is when we try to get things done in this order. I guess it's not an actual, like, at 9 o'clock we do this. It's more of an order to our day.
I think that's really helpful, especially because a lot of the resources out there for regular moms and homeschool moms alike are based off of families who aren't very big and just have a few kids. And so it's a lot easier to set forth those kinds of routines. And then as you start having more children and you're trying to still do that and it's not working, it does get really frustrating. Like, why won't this work? But my one-year-old just changed the time that they're napping and I have to deal with teething. And, you know, it's just, like you said, you'll just frustrate yourself if you don't have that flex. I think that's really wise.
I had another blogger one time kind of laugh joke, you know, half joking with me about the fact that she's like, you were always changing how you do things. She had noticed, you know, by reading the blog that I'm always changing things. Mm-hmm. And I said, I have to.
Yeah.
My life, nothing is static in my life.
Yes.
And I have to be adaptable or else I'm going to crash and burn. I have to be willing to say, this is no longer set in stone. Time to change it. It's okay. It was great when I started it. It's not mm-hmm. so great now.
Yeah. I think that it's a good lesson for your kids to be able to adapt to things too and kind of take things as they come.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what other resources do you have on your blog that you offer specifically to moms? I know you have your homeschooling book. Do you have other things that you specifically would like to tell us about?
Sure. I have some other ebooks as well. And I also have another project coming out that's going to actually touch on exactly what we were just talking about with managing a home.
Woo-hoo.
And yeah, so I'm excited about that. I'm not sure when it's going to be out, but be looking for it.
Oh, I will be. You have no doubt there.
I have an ebook that I just redid called Homeschooling with Purpose, and that one is really for moms as well, just to give you a focus for your homeschool and not worry so much about your curriculum and all the little things. It's really a big picture and to keep your heart focused on that big picture and choosing things that revolve around that focus.
Mm-hmm.
I have an entire subscriber freebie page that has lots of resources for moms, everything from grocery shopping lists. At one point in time, we did a once a month grocery shopping, and that list is there with all the information on how we did that. And there's some other, there's just a lot of freebies there. And that's for my subscribers who join the Raising Arrows newsletter. And that's on my site. And there's lots of homemaking charts and lists and just things where you can see how we've done things, how we do things now. And it's just, it's a huge resource. Like I told you earlier, I've been blogging for 10 years.
Yeah, that's amazing.
There's a lot there. And so you can kind of see my life in progression.
Yeah.
You can see when I started blogging, I had 4 children under the age of 8. And
wow.
So it's just been a progression from there and just seeing how, you know, things change. And I have several, I have a homeschooling page, a homemaking page, and a large family living page that are all kind of laid out where you can click links and find maybe specifically what you're looking for.
Well, I've spent lots of hours on your site in the past, and even just hearing you talk about it again, I'm like, I need to go spend another 3 weeks just perusing your site and revamping everything for my family. Well, I so appreciate you just coming on and talking about all of your resources and your experiences. And for all of the listeners, we'll have links to everything that Amy's been talking about in the show notes. So you can find those really easily on boldturquoise.com. And to wrap things up, though, I would love to ask you the questions that I ask all of my guests. How are you with that?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay. So candles or essential oil diffuser?
Oh, that's a hard one.
I know.
I like them both.
I've been known to accept that as an answer.
I think the essential oils are a little calmer for me. Yeah, so essential oils.
Okay. Cloth napkins or paper?
Cloth.
Really? That is awesome that you guys do that with all of those people.
Yeah, that's on the blog too. They're actually washcloths in a basket in the center of the table.
That's awesome. I love it. Okay, city or country?
Oh, country close to the city?
Okay, that's me. I totally get that. Okay, paper or digital?
Oh, I'm a mix of that too. These are hard questions, Mackenzie.
I know, I'm sorry. I'm a hybrid for that one too.
I'm a Google Calendar girl, but I also love paper and pencil. Yeah. And so,
okay. I know. I love to utilize a lot of digital resources, but then like a really pretty planner can just get me going. So, you know. Okay, shopping, online or in-store?
Online.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to imagine with that many children, you're doing some online shopping.
I do, yes.
Okay, it's 4 o'clock. You're making dinner and you need a mental break. Do you listen to a podcast or to music?
Oh, music.
Okay. Chocolate, milk or dark?
Dark.
Really, with that many children, if you said milk, I was going to be worried. Okay, sports or no sports?
No sports.
Okay. Periscope, would you rather watch or broadcast?
I think I'd rather watch because the children are awfully noisy when I broadcast. Yes.
I've had some of those experiences. That tends to be the ones that, of course, people like the most. Like, oh, your children went completely off the rails and made you seem normal. Thank you, I think. Okay, what is your favorite movie?
Oh, wow. That's a hard one, too. It used to be Gone with the Wind, hands down.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to be Scarlett O'Hara, but I've kind of grown up and I don't want to be Scarlett O'Hara anymore. That's funny. So I don't know. I'm not a big movie person.
Okay. Well, we'll just take that one.
Okay.
Okay. If you were to put yourself on the crunchy spectrum, like the natural spectrum, and 0 was totally not crunchy and 10 was like singing Kumbaya by the fire with your hair in dreadlocks, where would you fall?
Although I really like dreadlocks, I'm probably a 5.
Okay. Oh, goodness. That is hilarious. You know, dreadlocks might be easier for you to manage.
Amen. In your life.
I'm thinking maybe. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Amy. I really appreciate you being on the show.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Well, I will probably be calling you again. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Isn't Amy just awesome? I had so much fun talking with her and just gleaning from all of her wisdom. So if you want to find the links to any of the things that she talked about during the show, then you just have to head over to boldturquoise.com/13 to find all of our show notes. Also, make sure you head over to boldturquoise.com/character badges to check out this week's sponsor. Thank you to all of you who've been leaving ratings and reviews on iTunes. I so appreciate that, and it really helps out the podcast. You can really easily go over and do that if you haven't already, and I so, so appreciate it. All right, until next week, when I will be featuring Erica from Chaotic Blessings, all about the new planner supplies that we have coming out that are exclusive to Cultivating the Lovely. I hope you have a great week, and go be bold and gracious.